League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right is 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got his throws. He's got Golden Tate who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's breaking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of the cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. What a gorgeous evening. Glad to have you on board. As always, this show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. My name's Mike Miller. Frank Gargano's back at the studios tonight. The Marvelous May sales event continues. More on that as the evening progresses. Glad to have you on board. Pretty big weekend of sports. David Glazier will join us at 5:15 tonight. He was in Berea, Ohio, over the weekend as the Cleveland Browns and the rookies got together there, including quarterback Deshaun Kizer, the Toledo native, went on to Notre Dame. All 6'4", 235 pounds of him. Dave Glazier was on the sidelines. We're going to talk to him, pick his brain, and see what he saw. Wearing number 7, by the way, the great Otto Graham wore number 14 for the Cleveland Browns. Mark Monroe of the Toledo Blade will join us at 5:35 tonight. Of course, Mark's the beat writer for the Toledo Blade. Of course, the low payment king and Drive Time involved with this Toledo Walleye playoff run. Mark Monroe coming up at 5:35 tonight. So a little bit of football local flavor with Deshaun Kizer, his first weekend as a Cleveland Brown. How did it go? And Mark Monroe on the Walleye coming up at 5:35 tonight. Just a couple of notes on the weekend. Tigers finished. Of course, this update is brought to you by Reed Funeral Home. Tigers, they finished that trip out west with a record of 4-5. That includes two ninth inning, boy, just giveaways by K-Rod. Justin Wilson's moved in there. In fact, one of the games over the weekend, three up, three down, three strikeouts. So for the time being, anyways, it looks like the Tigers have found their closer. But I have to tell you this. You know, this just kind of proves, you know, these guys get into the hyperbole here. This guy doesn't have the mental makeup to be a closer. You know, I mean, listen, I get some of that. I don't dispute it at all. But how do you find out unless you throw the guy in there and put his feet to the fire? And to all of a sudden judge that Justin Wilson doesn't have the makeup to be a closer, well, let's find out. He's throwing peas. He's throwing 97, 98 miles an hour with the big hook. They can't hit him. Listen, there's going to be some some potholes and some rough roads around his new position as the Tigers closer. But let's take a look at the left-hander. How about the Minnesota Twins now? They have a one-game lead over the Cleveland Indians and Detroit. Boy, they're playing some good baseball. If somebody tells me, I get it, it's mid-May, that the Minnesota Twins were leading the Central over Cleveland and Detroit. Hats off to Paul Molitor, what they're doing over there in Minnesota. So, again, a good start for the Twins. Tigers holding on at 18-18. NASCAR over the weekend, Martin Truex Jr., he breaks about a one-year streak of not winning. He wins, but the big news there was that unbelievable wreck with, of course, Joey Logano and Danica Patrick and Eric Amarola. He seems to be all right. But I just happened today for a background noise in my office. Watched a little bit of the finish of the Players yesterday for the second time. You know, I don't need a lot of Dan Cummins and I talked about this last week. This ESPN has just turned into a scream fest. You know, I don't need to have the television on while you're working and a bunch of people yelling at each other for 45 minutes. You know, I like some highlights. The golf's always good for background. The NASCAR race today, I saw that wreck today. You wonder why a legend like Dale Earnhardt lost his life. All you have to do is look at a crash like that. And the technology and the safety features in these cars now are a lot better than they were when Dale Earnhardt lost his life. But this was a horrific crash. And really, Joey Logano, talking to the analyst, listening to what they had to say today, he had no chance. Something broke in his braking system, pulled the car dead left into the rear end of Danica Patrick, who was really shaken up. And, boy, just one thing after another going at, well, again, Logano said he was going 214 miles an hour. But Eric Almirola, he's okay, out of the hospital. Well, I say he's okay. He's got a compression of fracture in his spine, but could have been a lot worse. Again, hats off. You know, you talk about Dale Earnhardt, the great Dale Earnhardt, and the drivers. You know, he's still contributing to racing because of the safety features in these cars now that all of a sudden everybody, you know, just got a little bit more detailed and a little bit more conscientious of how quickly things can happen. So I think Eric Amarola today could maybe thank Dale Earnhardt for this not being more serious than it could have been. Again, Martin Truex Jr. wins. How about Siwoo Kim winning the Players at 21 years of age? Shot a 69 Sunday, but what I wanted to touch on here was they interviewed him, of course, through an interpreter, you know, after he wins. And he said something. Now, who does this sound like? Somebody asked him if he was nervous. He said, no, I really wasn't nervous. I had the lead. All I did was try to hit center of greens. Who's that sound like? Who's that sound like? You have to wonder how many Golf My Way books are floating around South Korea. That sounds like Jack Nicklaus. I had the lead. I hit the center of the green all day long, and that's what he did, and he holds on to win. I kind of thought it was funny that Ian Poulter was in the mix here, and every time I think of Ian Poulter, the only thing I can think of is when he was going head-to-head with Tiger in that era, when Tiger was peaking, and Ian Poulter, listen, we've all said stupid things, but Ian Poulter says, listen, I'm just a click away here from being in the same class as Tiger Woods. Well, that hasn't happened. He battled for a while on Sunday, Ian Poulter as well. NHL back in action tonight, Nashville, Anaheim. They're tied. No, excuse me. They go tomorrow night. That series is tied one game each. Tonight, Ottawa with a one-game lead over the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're in Pittsburgh tonight for game two. Walleye split over the weekend. They're off to Colorado, Loveland, Colorado, to take on the Colorado Eagles for three straight. I already talked about the format. Tough format. Colorado gets a split, 2-3-2. Also talked about a Cinderella story maybe developing here with Lucas Hafner. And something else, I think I'm the only guy that's talked about this. Really, you get out there at 5,000 feet in Loveland, Colorado, there's a real situation out there with lack of oxygen for athletes. They normally say, well, I don't know, 24, 48, maybe even a little bit longer to acclimate yourself to the high altitude out there. Remember when I was with the Devils against Colorado Avalanche in 2001, Stanley Cup Finals? I want to say we flew out there 2 days in advance and had a morning and an afternoon short skate so the guys could just kind of adjust a little bit. So that's it. That's the commentary tonight. A little bit of a weekend wrap-up. David Glazier, he was on the sidelines watching Deshaun Kizer. First appearance as a Brown, rookie camp. Back with that after this. This show driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. This show was always driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Marvelous May sales event continues. 5:35 tonight, we'll be talking to Mark Monroe. Mark will be in Loveland, Colorado. And, of course, Toledo Blade walleye playoff coverage presented by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Talking ECHL hockey, Western Conference Finals, Toledo Walleye, Colorado Eagles tied one game each. The format here, three consecutive games in Loveland, Colorado. I looked up not too long ago the elevation. Of course, the Mile High City, figure it out, 5,280. Loveland, Colorado, and even 5,000 feet. Hockey coming up at 5:35. We're going football. We're going local flavor. We're getting our first look at Deshaun Kizer and a guy that was there in Berea, Ohio. One of our regulars, David Glazier, News Herald out of Cleveland, join us. What did you see from Mr. Kizer, number one? And I guess I reversed this. Hello, David. How are you?
Good, Michael. I saw a young guy with unlimited potential, perfect NFL size, and a ton to learn. And I'm just reading an article by Mary Kay Cabot of The Plain Dealer in which she talked to him at some length, and he's talking about how much he has to learn. He says he's at level one. He needs to get to level 500 before he can even start to think about challenging Cody Kessler and or who else for the starting job in Cleveland. So, but I would think that overall the first weekend left a very positive impression.
Did you get a chance to, I mean, was he available, I guess, again, talking to David Glazier, News here, was he available to the media, or are any of the rookies available to the media after workouts?
Yeah, they all were.
What came out of that? You mentioned the article. Anything he had to say, or could you read anything in his, I don't know, his demeanor or anything like that?
No, just that he's really, you know, I think he's perfectly capable of handling it. He says that from footwork to speeding up to simplifying some things, there was a big emphasis just on speeding things up. Obviously, the game is a lot faster, the ball has to get out a lot quicker. So, you know, that's what Hugh Jackson is talking about. And then Kizer talks about, you know, how he's learning on the fly. I mean, just learning the playbook. He can't even, I'm sure he just knows a fraction of the plays right now. They kept it pretty simple for the rookie minicamp. They're back in a couple of weeks, and there'll be a bigger challenge when he's on the field against veterans. So, it's like the first week of spring training in baseball. You know, right now everything looks great. All the draft choices they made look like they're going to contribute. They had a cornerback, I can't remember his name, who hurt himself, broke a kneecap. I think he was a fifth or sixth rounder. Obviously a setback for that kid. But other than that, they got through the rookie minicamp in great shape physically. And, I think the Browns had a pretty good draft. Now, we'll know whether it's a really good draft. I always tell people, talk to me the first week of November. You know, when they got eight games under their belts.
Yep, you said this last time, Aaron, and I couldn't agree more, no doubt about it. Hey, it was how about one of the all-time greats, Bruce Smith, saying, having a conversation at one time with Myles Garrett, basically talking about, hey, your first step's a little bit slow. How'd he look?
Big. I mean, he's big. I think a lot of the stuff Warren Sapp kind of trashed him before the draft. And Smith here, who was, I guess, part of his camp, I think they're just trying to let him know that as good as the competition was at Texas A&M, it's just, and in the SEC, it's a whole other ballgame when you get to the get to the NFL, and that he'll everything about his game will have to be better, and everything about his approach to rushing the passer, everything about his approach to playing defense, being disciplined, staying inside his scheme, a lot less freelancing, I suspect, in the NFL than he was able to do at Texas A&M. But I mean, he's a specimen, and he has the right attitude. I think he took a little heat from people for saying that he wanted to get after Big Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, and I'm thinking, what's wrong with that? I mean, it's been 25 years since the Browns put a dent in the Steelers' armor. It's about time somebody started talking about playing hard and playing tough and fast and mean against the Steelers, so I'm okay with that.
I am too. In fact, I love it, and I think it's, you know, we've got so politically correct in the real world that athletes now can't even say anything competitive, and they're called out on social media. I'm with you again. You're two for two. Again, talking to David Glazier here, News Herald out of Cleveland. Listen, we're in Ohio State, the flagship station in Northwest Ohio, but part of the Cumulus Cluster also includes the University of Michigan as we're doing this broadcast about 10 miles from the Ohio-Michigan line. How about Jabril Peppers? He does not practice on Friday, comes out on Saturday. Tell me about that. The only thing I read there, he said he didn't avoid Friday's practice because of a drug test. And, of course, everybody knows about the diluted sample, you know, during earlier, about a month ago. How did he look? And tell me what you saw there.
Well, that's not going to go away until – I don't think suspicions about him are going to go away until they get into training camp proper. I mean, until he signed in training camp proper and – you know, being tested at random like everybody else is. I mean, once there's a few waves of random tests that he passes and stays on the field, and, you know, I think for him it's interesting, you know, where's he going to play? You know, the assumption is he's going to play safety, strong safety, and I think that's a reasonable assumption. But I also, you know, I mean, are they going to succumb to the temptation of using him as a spot player on offense, as they did at Michigan? Are they going to use him on special teams like they did at Michigan? I mean, he's a very talented player, and he's got a little bit of an edge to him, which I like. And, you know, he's a little cocky, and that's on the same thing with Myles Garrett, saying he wants to get after Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. I mean, you know, on a franchise that's been averaging like 3.6 wins a game for the last 19 years, you know, I don't see any downside to getting some players who think they're good and want the other players around them to think they're good and get better because they want to be as good as their teammate. I just don't see the downside to that with the Cleveland Browns.
I see a story coming maybe in the same vein from David Glazier, and I think the folks in Cleveland certainly would love to read that, and I'm with you 100%. I'm all for that. And I listen, there's a way of doing that without, you know, putting added pressure on people and this and that. Listen, you're playing in the National Football League, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League. You better have a pretty high confidence level, believe me, and everybody goes about their business in different ways. Again, talking to David Glazier, News Herald out of Cleveland. Hey, before I let you go, how about the Minnesota Twins coming into town looking like a bunch of world beaters until Sunday anyways?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I wrote a column for the paper. I believe it ran in Saturday's paper, that if you look at where the teams were last year at this time. Minnesota came to Cleveland the exact same weekend. They played three games. They won two of three, just like they did this weekend. The Indians were kind of bobbing around. They were one and two games above 500 at the end, at the entrance and exit of that series. They were in second place, a game behind Chicago. You know, they weren't really hitting the ball that well. Their offense was a little spotty. Their pitching wasn't as dominant as everybody thought it would be. It's really almost a mirror image of this year. The difference is the Twins are so much better. That's a nice young ball team. I mean, they got some players. Sano, their third baseman, first baseman, is a heck of a talent. They just have some players and good manager in Paul Molitor, and we saw some pretty good pitching here. And I just, you know, I mean, I think, and I could be wrong about this, by the time the season's over, I think they'll be third or fourth place, but I think the Twins have a chance to beat out Kansas City this year. I think it's going to come down to Detroit and Cleveland in this division. I also think that Cleveland's going to get a little wind in their sails. You know, last year after the Minnesota series, they floundered for another week and a half, and then they caught fire and won 14 games in a row. And the rest of the season, really, they owned the division. In fact, I think last year they moved into first place on June 4th and never left. So I wouldn't be surprised if that repeats itself. But Terry Francona all along has been saying last year means nothing beyond the experience we gain because it's a whole new season. So every baseball season tends to unfold in a different way, sort of like fingerprints. They're all different. I expect the Indians pitching to get better, especially when Corey Kluber comes back, hopefully healthy from his, you know, he had lower back issues, spasms. And as anybody who's ever had a bad back knows, that's no fun. And for a professional athlete, it has to be torture. So, there's a lot going on here. The Cavs have disappeared. They're going to have sat 10 days by the time the Eastern Conference finals start on Wednesday, either in Cleveland if it's Washington or in Boston if it's the Celtics. Obviously, I think a lot of us here will be watching that game tonight.
Yeah, and I think last week, who did you tell me? Listen, I'm aging myself here. Who did you tell me would give did you say Washington might give the Cavs more trouble than Boston? I think you did.
I think so. Yeah, you know what? Only because in Boston, basically, you've got one dynamic scorer in Isaiah Thomas. And in Washington, you have two in John Wall and Bradley Beal. I think, obviously, the record says that Boston's the better team. They finished first in the Eastern Conference regular season, so they're a good team. But I just and that game is in Boston tonight, and that matters. But I just have a feeling that Washington's going to beat them, and that's not based on anything more than gut hunch.
Again, David Glazier joins us here on Drive Time. His appearance brought to you by Vito's Pizza. He's on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Visit Vito's.com. Ingredients you can trust. You know what I saw yesterday before I let you go? I was doing a little channel surfing yesterday. Two little babysitting, by the way, for my little grandson. So I was watching baseball. I was watching golf. I had a little bit of everything going on there. And you know what? It was great to see, and I know that it's picked up, the nice crowd at Progressive Field in Cleveland. And you know what? It makes me happy the folks are coming out.
Well, that series last year, you know, the three-gamer against Minnesota drew just shy of 46,000. This series drew just shy of 76,000. So they had a lot more people at every game. It's going to be better. And you know what? Whether it's Major League Baseball or Minor League Ball, and you know this because you've got the Mud Hens, basically the attendance season anymore starts right before Memorial Day and ends on Labor Day. You know, it's the way it is, and I'm not sure why. Obviously, if you have a contending team in the major leagues after Labor Day, you'll continue to draw. But if you're an also-ran team, your crowds dry up after Labor Day. I think baseball isn't the habitual sport that it used to be for people. It's more of a niche sport. It has to do with the time of the year and that sort of baseball feeling you get when the sun's out and the days are warm. But, it was nice to see more people in the stands. You'd still like to see more. But I think there will be once the summer, and not just the summer, once the weather, but once the Indians heat up a little bit. I think it's way past due for Edwin Encarnacion to have one of those games. So that's what I'm looking for.
Are you battling a cold, Mr. Glazier?
I am. And you know what? It's like cold and allergy. I know I probably sound a little bit under the weather, but
I just was going to say, this really, I hope you feel better. But this really enhances your radio voice, I got to tell you. Oh, yeah, you got a little Lou Rawls going today. Good stuff. Glad to hear it. I hope you feel better, pal.
Hey, you'll never find.
One of the all-time classics right there.
Another love like mine.
Boy, you got to keep that cold and get into a karaoke bar tonight. You'll win a couple prizes. Nice work. Hey, thanks for coming on, David.
My pleasure.
The update. The most important thing on Deshaun Kizer. And like I said, went to high school not too far from here. People want to hear what he's doing.
Right.
And we appreciate the update. And I'll talk to you down the road.
Bye-bye.
David Glazier, News Herald out of Cleveland, giving us a little Lou Rawls here tonight at 5:30. TAS Electronics update right around the corner. A lot of things going on at TAS Electronics, including a four-star window tint. And how about the the old boats, bikes, and ATVs, TAS Electronics, they do them all. Stream your favorite digital audio direct from your smartphone. Again, boats, bikes, ATVs, TAS Electronics. Go say hi to my good friend, Al Papier. All right, everybody. Again, that was David Glazier, Vito's Pizza phone line. Great specials going on this week. Listen to this. Five-topper, large, medium, one-topper, appetizer, $18.99. Vito's Pizza. Visit Vito's.com. Right around the corner, Mark Monroe, presented by the Low Payment King. We'll be talking walleye hockey.
Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. As always, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Glad to have you on board. Coming to you from the showroom tonight, where the marvelous May sales events continue. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com, one of my favorites right here. 2017 Chrysler 300 Limited, all-wheel drive. Listen to this, $160 a month. That's for a 24-month lease. Talk to David Glazier, News Herald out of Cleveland, in the first portion of the show tonight. We touched on Deshaun Kizer in his first weekend as a Cleveland Brown. Still, of course, learning the playbook, but they loved his demeanor. They love his size. They love his athleticism. So, again, thanks to David Glazier, who was in Berea. He was on the sidelines giving us that update. Also touched on the Twins a little bit and how they've improved. Did a pretty good job in the Indians until Sunday over the weekend. Of course, the Cavs waiting for the winner tonight of the Boston-Washington game. That game is in Boston. Going to switch gears now on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations by phone or visit Vito's.com. It's been a long, long time since I've talked to this guy, and I'm not sure why. But Mark Monroe joins us now here on Drive Time, ESPN 106.5, the ticket, beat writer for the Toledo Blade. He has covered the walleye for numerous years now. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good, Mike. It has been a while. It's always great talking with you, especially playoff hockey, huh?
No, no doubt about it. Great hearing your voice as well. When are you leaving for Colorado?
Tomorrow morning I fly out into Chicago, then over to Denver, and then it's about a hour drive north to Loveland, there where the Eagles play.
Well, we just, you know, I was just myself and the Low Payment King were talking about this, and, you know, there's a lot of a subject matter on this and the walleye. What a tremendous, tremendous year they had. But I had to draw on a little bit of my own personal experience here back in 2001 in the Stanley Cup Finals, the Devils and the Colorado Avalanche. The one thing, I'm sure you're going to touch on it, but I haven't seen this mentioned either, and it just happened to come to mind to me today, Mark Monroe, was I remember the Devils flying out about 60 hours early just to get acclimated to the altitude out there. Uh-huh. And I went online. We went to Google. 5,000 feet, by the way, in Loveland, Colorado. Has that been discussed at all by Dan Watson or anybody?
Yeah. You know what, Mike? I did hear you talk about that, and I did ask Watson about that on Saturday, and he was honest with me. He said, we haven't even thought about it. That's what he said to me, just because they're so focused on game two at that point. But I know they flew out today, so they're in there a day early. They'll, you know, do the full skate tomorrow, and they'll again on Wednesday, morning skate. I imagine they'll be ready to go by Wednesday. You know, they did make a trip out to Utah in December and also out to Alaska. You know, I don't know how that compares altitude-wise, but, you know, I think they at least have a little bit of a familiarity with it there.
I'm not saying it's a huge factor or a negative, but I'm saying that it is a factor. I guess more importantly, Mark Monroe, who joins us here on ESPN 106.5, the ticket, Dan Watson and his goaltending situation, been darn good all year long with a number of, candidates in between the pipes, Lurg, Patterson. Tell me a little bit about who you'll see between the pipes on Wednesday night.
Well, the latest news here is that they've released Jeremy Brodeur, who they had signed to an amateur tryout agreement after Jake Patterson had been injured. So Patterson made the trip with him out to Colorado, and he will back up Jeff Lurg for game three.
Well, that's we got it there. Lurg will get the starting goal. We had Jeff on last week. In fact, we've had about 10 of the players on, and Dan Watson and Matt Melzak on quite a bit. What have you give me the DNA and give me, I mean, who are the Colorado Eagles? They came in here and got a split, and I guess in this format, Mark Monroe, that's they accomplished, they probably won't say this publicly, or maybe they did, in a 2-3-2. They go into a tough barn like the Huntington Center where the Walleye have been great all year long, regular season in the playoffs. 1-1, 2-3-2 format. Tell me a little bit about that, what you've heard.
Well, yeah, actually, I have a full story on that in tomorrow's Blade if you, you want to take a look at that. But, yeah, it's interesting how it sets up. It's tough because Colorado now has three straight out there. But oddly enough, Colorado has a losing record at home in the playoffs. They're 2-3. And the Walleye had the best road record. So, you know, I don't see it as a huge, huge factor. But, yeah, there'll be a little more on it in tomorrow's paper.
You know, we talk to a lot of these guys, and I think it stands out, and you've written about it, and Danny's talked about it quite a bit as well. Boy, what a character group down there, and I guess the most important thing, and I've said it for years, when you get a team that their most important mindset is not letting down the guy seated next to you in a locker room, pretty powerful stuff, and everybody sees it, and I'm sure you do too.
Oh, this team is as close and tight as any I've covered. Mostly because some of these guys, you know, have been together for, you know, 3 and even 4 years in some cases. A lot of veterans who specifically came back to win the cup. And they're just great to work with. You know that anyway, Mike, with your background. Hockey people are the best, you know. And they're just in it for each other, like you said. And they got a good mix of young guys in there, too. You touched on Lurg. His story has been unbelievable. Started out in Denmark, came back here, and just has been phenomenal, pressed into duty here in the playoffs.
Well, speaking of goaltenders, you knew I'd go there just because he's a great friend of this show, Lucas Hafner, and has known the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik, for a long time. And Ralph's close to the family. In fact, Lucas has been up here a couple of times as well. I don't know from a writer's standpoint, and I even said it last week as a broadcast. Listen, I want to make myself perfectly clear here. We're all in for the Toledo Walleye here, but holy smokes, what a Cinderella story this would be if a Lucas Hafner, who left Central High School to go play Junior B hockey in Ontario, then on to Western Michigan, where he wasn't on scholarship and eventually got one and wore a letter as a goaltender, got cut by Alaska. Boy, there's a lot of storylines there.
Oh, it's an amazing story. He's a great kid through a lot of adversity, and for him to catch on with Colorado at the end of the year and just make a name for himself. He won their first 7 games, and, you know, he was back in net on Saturday night in front of his, you know, friends and family, and acquitted himself nicely. He didn't stand on his head, but he was there when he needed to be. And, you know, that kid, I think that's why Colorado's in the finals, because of how well he's played. And it's just great to see.
I'll let you go here. One final question. Of course, the playoff drive here on Drive Time is presented by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik, and a Toledo Blade as well. Just a quick little sample of what you see in this Colorado team, Mark Monroe.
Yeah, you had mentioned that before. Now, we hadn't seen them all season. This is the first time they played was on Friday night. But, boy, it's by far the most formidable opponent the Walleye are up against. They're big, but they're also fast. They're creative. They play hard, the full 60 minutes. And we got a couple guys that can really light it up. One guy, Zio's got, I believe, 12 goals in 10 games. And, you know, it's the goaltending. Yeah, I imagine they'll stick with Hafner because, you know, he won on Saturday. It seems like their coach goes with the hot hand. But they also have former goalie Kent Simpson, who, you know, he's got some experience. So they're a complete team. It's going to take all the while I have to, get a game out there and bring it back home.
Good stuff, Mark. Great hearing your voice. Go root your son on. Get a couple of hits there in T-ball. That's the most important thing tonight. So
Yeah. Thanks
for coming on. Travel safe, and we'll touch base down the road. Appreciate it.
I hope to talk to you soon, Mike. Again, I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Mark Monroe, Toledo Blade, beat writer Toledo Walleye. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Quick announcement, too. The Buck Brothers winner of the Ugliest Driveway Contest, Tom Haggerty. Mommy, congratulations, Tom. Ugliest Driveway. Now you're going to get one that looks pretty good. Back with more to close it out after this. Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, where the marvelous May sales event continues. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com.
Your head on the steering wheel and turn up the dial. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Glad to have you back on board. Good guest tonight, David Glazer. Got the DeShone Kizer update. Fresh off his first rookie camp with the Cleveland Browns, the Toledo Central Catholic graduate, went on to Notre Dame, played a couple of years. By the way, he's wearing number 7 for the Cleveland Browns and wore number 14 at both Central Catholic and at Notre Dame. Went to Cleveland, was told, sorry, son, a gentleman by the name of Otto Graham wore number 14 in Cleveland, not available. So again, DeShone Kizer wearing number 7 for the Cleveland Browns. Mark Monroe joined us, Toledo Blade beat writer. Covers the Walleye, and he's making his way out to Colorado tomorrow. Of course, all your coverage in the Blade is presented by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Playoff run continues, 3 straight in Colorado. Another note here, discounted tickets on sale now at Northwest Ohio area Menards stores for the Menards 200. That's coming up on Sunday. That is a 76th running, one of my favorite days of the year. I have another assignment and another commitment. I'm not going to be at the Speedway Bar and Grill. Normally, one of my favorite hours in broadcasting, all the folks from ARCA are there, and they bring in a lot of the drivers and a lot of the owners. Just a fun get-together. Racing people, kind of like hockey people, a good little gathering. But Nick Smetala will be out there on Friday night, again from 5 to 6 o'clock for Drive Time, trying to twist the arm a little bit of the Low Payment King. He's a big race guy, again, on the commentary tonight. And, of course, the Low Payment King is a huge sponsor of the great folks at ARCA and both Speedways, to Flat Rock and Toledo Speedway. Safety cars, of course, are Low Payment King vehicles as well. So the biggest race of the year coming up on Sunday down at Toledo Speedway. Hey, by the way, if you like fast cars and you're 21 years of age or older, the Pinewood Derby coming up June the 10th. That's the Lynx of Lake Erie. Great fundraiser. Benefits the Boy Scouts. Running Waters District area. Serving Monroe County and the community of Flat Rock. Get a hold of Nick Mills. Again, at Mills 155 at hotmail.com. Again, the 21-plus Pinewood Derby coming up June the 10th out at the links of Lake Erie. All of our guests, by the way, come to you on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Special this week, medium specialty or five-topper, small one-topper, choice of an appetizer for $14.99. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. We will do this again tomorrow. Right here from, of course, the Superstore. Back at the, listen, we heard a bunch of commercials there, but Jim reminding everybody that we have complete Stanley Cup hockey playoff coverage over on 100.7 and also the NBA game tonight. Join either of those. I mean, basketball, hockey, we got it all. This is why we are Toledo's sports leader, ESPN programming, into Bob France and the Extravaganza, and, of course, Drive Time coming to you each night from the Superstore. Frank, did I miss anything? Any breaking news out there you could touch on?
Nothing breaking, but for anyone out there wondering what time our games start tonight, Washington at Boston right here on 106.5 The Ticket. Pre-game coverage will start at 7 p.m. Tip-off will be at 8, and then Senators at the Penguins on Talk 100.7. 7:45 the pregame, and 8 o'clock will be your puck drop.
Yeah, I'm not too sure many people gave the Ottawa Senators a chance in this series against Pittsburgh. Big game tonight for the Pittsburgh Penguins. This Anaheim-Nashville series has been absolutely vicious at times. I mean, this one, this is NHL playoff hockey circa the 1970s. Well, maybe not that extreme, but it has been tenacious. It has been up-tempo. It has been in your face. It has been battling for every inch of ice. And, again, that's the Anaheim-Nashville series, Pittsburgh-Ottawa tonight. Game 7, Washington and Boston in the NBA. I thought the quote of the weekend through an interpreter was, Siwoo Kim, who won the players with a 69 on Sunday. Somebody asked him again through an interpreter, well, you're nervous? Nope, I hit the lead. All I did was try to hit the middle of the green. Who did that sound like? A guy named Jack out of Columbus, Ohio, hit the middle of the green. Don't go flag hunting, especially down on Sawgrass. All right, everybody, again, thanks to our guests. Glazier out of Cleveland. Mark Monroe of the Blade. The show driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. We'll do it again tomorrow. So long.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.